Daddy isn't with us tonight. The reason Bobby isn't here is because he goes for a special medical exam tomorrow and is in preparation tonight. Kindly remember him in your prayers tonight. Larry Summerlin isn't here. Larry left today to go way down to see his mother. She's had some difficulties, as most of you know, and he's telling me that she's had another fall. And every time she falls, she gets hurt, you know. So he's away down to see his mother today. So kindly remember them in prayer. And I trust you've all had a good day. It's a funny thing when these special days come along. Most people eat too much. I don't come across people dying of starvation around here. I was in a shop, I think 2 days ago. I said to the lady in the shop, "This is the funniest shop to be in." I said, "You've got things here advertised for people how to get thinner, to reduce. And here you've got other things over here. Tell them how to put weight on." I said, what have you to believe? Some want to put weight on, others want to lose weight. I think that happens at the table. Depends on how far you're away from it, how near you are. See? And then an old preacher I used to preach with at one time, and he used to say, "You know, Willie, it's very difficult to keep people awake in a meeting when they're full of new potatoes and unbelief." I don't know what you're full of tonight, but I hope it's not unbelief. I want to, this evening, to draw your attention to 3 different portions in the Word of God. This morning we were speaking about that delightful character called Mary. I want to take you to 3 different passages in the Old Testament tonight. And we'll not go into all the details regarding each one, but we'll try to select something very special. What I'm thinking of is this, that wherever you think of a mother, your mind goes to a mother's love. You always associate love with a mother. The love that she shows, especially to her children. A mother's love. It's nothing like it. But with that, when I come to this first passage, I suggest to you that love is associated with loyalty. Where there is true love, there will be true loyalty. Turn to the Song of Solomon for our first reading, will you? The Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Verse 2. Solomon chapter 2, verse 2. "As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." We'll get the response to that in verse 4. "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Now look down at verse 8. "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." I will pause there in the reading for a moment. Keep your Bibles handy. We have another two scriptures to look at. I suggest to you now that here in the Song of Solomon, loyalty is seen in the devotion of the object of love. The one is looking and he's saying this, "So is my love among the daughters." What is she like? She's like a lily among thorns. That's how he's describing the one that has caught his affection. She's like a lily among thorns. Now, no one likes to get entangled with thorns. But if amongst all the thorns you see a beautiful lily, and you want that lily for yourself, he says, there she is, standing out in all her beauty. I'll do anything to get her. The response of that young woman is this: he got me all right. And he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. Now, I don't know how you take the Song of Solomon and how you apply it, but don't you run away with the idea, because if somebody else takes a different view from you, that they're wrong and you're right. Some have done that. I know some that did that with John Phillips's book. He said, it's all wrong. Doesn't agree. I don't agree with it, so it's all wrong. How ridiculous can people be? Because that one man presents a certain picture and is different from your conception, that doesn't say they're wrong and you're right. You see, in the Song of Solomon, you can take it first of all in its primary idea. Is it the thought of Solomon going after this Shulamite? This young lady that has cut his affections away up there in the north. And he wants her. She's really a nobody. She hasn't got royal blood. She's an outsider. But somehow or another, there's something about her. He says, she's like a lily among thorns, and I want her. So that's the primary idea. But there are others, of course, that go through the Song of Solomon and they see a picture of it, of the love that Christ had for his church. And just as Solomon went after this young Shulamite, that's only a picture of the love of Christ for his church. Others, of course, hold tenaciously to the idea that it's got to do with the nation of Israel and so on. Now, none of these ideas are on my mind now. What I'm simply saying is this: no matter how you apply it, the thought is this, it's a picture of love being expressed. And there's loyalty in the devotion towards the object of that love. Now, you see, when you come down to these other verses, here she is now, who was looked upon as the lily among the thorns. And she's telling how her beloved came. And how she saw him. How he won her affections. First of all, she says she heard his voice. The voice of my beloved. In plain words, there was the approach of the beloved. He's coming. She hears his voice. Behold, he cometh, and he's leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. If there's mountains and hills, there are difficulties to be overcome. I often think when you go south from here, you know, and you down through South Carolina and into Georgia and into Florida, and you go down that 95, oh my, it's just straight and level, no hills to climb, no valleys to see. It's different when you go way over to Asheville. You go up there about 4,000 or 5,000 feet above sea level, going over those mountains. That's different. I love to see the mountains. But there's no difficulty in going along a level road. But it's when you've got to try and climb the hills. See, when I was born and raised, we had hills. If we went by the road to a city that lay on the north side of the hills, we were on the south side, we had to travel 9 miles going west. Then we had to turn round and get round the back of the hills to get up. But if we could have gone just as the crow flies, you know, my, how near it would have been. On some days, we climbed the hills. It wasn't easy. You were pretty well exhausted when you got up about 2,000 feet or more, climbing up those hills. It was easier coming down than going up, because we didn't come down on our feet, I can assure you of that. We had another way of coming down. But climbing hills can be very difficult. But she says, here he is. He came leaping upon the mountains and skipping over the hills. It's wonderful what a young man will do to reach the object of his love. He'll make many sacrifices. He'll show his fidelity. He'll express his love. You reach him. She says, that's him. And I heard his voice. He had come. Then she calls him my beloved again. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. He standeth behind our wall. He's reached the house now and he's behind the wall. And he's looking through the lattice to see if he can see her. And she's watching out of the window and she sees him. I wonder, was her heart responding to his? And then she says, my beloved spake and said unto me, either she has come out now or he's come to the door and they're in conversation. And he's telling her straight, I don't want you to stay here any longer. I want you to come with me to the place that I have prepared. Arise and come away. It's the time now. See, there's fidelity here. And she leaves her home. And she's going now with the beloved. That's how she came into his banqueting house. And his banner over her was love. That's the thought I want you to take from this particular passage. Where there's true love, there's fidelity. Where there's no fidelity, there is no true love. Not there, and it never was there. Oh, it may have been a pretense. That's all. Where there is true love, there will be fidelity. Now, I want you to go with another one with me back to the book of Ruth. Let us look at the book of Ruth. The whole story of the book of Ruth is well known to most of you, I know that. It's got to do with the Redeemer and how this young lady by the name of Ruth, who happened at this moment to be a young widow, and she's brought into contact with Boaz, who becomes the kinsman Redeemer. But in chapter 1, she's on the journey. She's come to the point of the decision in life. Naomi, her mother-in-law, is standing there. I've often tried to picture them perhaps up on the brow of a hill. They could look backward over to the country of Moab. Or they could look on to the land of Israel. And Naomi said to her, now don't bother coming with me. Why should you come with me? I've got nothing to promise you. I've got nothing to offer you. Why don't you just go back to your own land? Go back to your own people. In plain words, go back to Moab with all its idolatry. Go back to the land of Moab with all its sin. Don't bother coming with me. But she could look back and she knew what the past had for her. She could look at her mother-in-law, Naomi. She knew where she was going. She had heard a lot about that land and about the people of God who lived there. She could look over and see that land. And she makes a decision. Loyalty. Now let us read what she says here, verse 16 of chapter 1. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Loyalty. If ever there was an expression of loyalty, I suggest to you it's right here in the decision that was made by Ruth. There's faith and fidelity stamped upon it. For instance now, think of this young woman, a Moabitess. Oh, what a past history. If she wanted to trace her roots, she would have been ashamed. Absolutely ashamed of where the Moabites first originated. In fact, she would have been almost afraid or ashamed to tell people that she was a Moabitess. Besides, if she comes on with Naomi, what's she going to do? Because there's a law against her. She cannot be accepted into the congregation of Israel until the 10th generation. She'll be treated as an incomer, as a stranger. I was telling somebody that the other day. They were telling me, they asked me where I came from. Of course, when people ask me that question here, they're not ready for the answer. I usually tell them where you come from is not the important matter. It's where you're going that really counts. Where you come from. But I was talking to them and they'd come from the north. So I said, you are a Yankee. And yes. I said, I learned down here the strange names for those Yankees. However, I said, I'll say this. So far as I'm concerned, I've been here now for over 30 years. I'm still an incomer. I'm still an incomer. I used to wonder what my father meant. Not long before he died, he was telling us that too. And he had lived in that town for over 30 years. And they still looked upon him as an incomer. He had come from the West. An incomer. I couldn't understand that. For he was there when I was born and I was born in the place, I was one of them, see, but he was an income. He says, no matter how long a person lived there, if they weren't born there, they were incomers. And I found that here, I'm an income, stranger. Here was Ruth. If she went over into that new land, she would be treated as an incomer. In plain words, an unwanted one she would be. Some incomers are very much welcome, but she wouldn't be welcome. A Moabitess. She couldn't come into the congregation of Israel until the 10th generation. What's she going to do? She could go back and be welcomed with her own people and live in sin and iniquity away from God. But no, here's fidelity. She had been married to the son of Naomi. He had died. Now she's a young widow. And her mother-in-law is a widow. Two widows. And she clings to her mother-in-law. Oh, the love. Oh, the fidelity. No doubt it was because of the love she had for her husband. And she's showing that love now and that attachment to her mother-in-law. Oh, she says, entreat me not to leave thee. Where thou goest, I will go. his fidelity, that was setting out for her a new path. A path in life with a new direction. You know, it's wonderful when we get a new direction in life, isn't it? Sometimes we have a path mapped out for ourselves, and we try to visualize it. We look forward a number of years and what it's going to be like. And suddenly you come to a roadblock. It's not working out. You've either to turn to the right or to the left. You have to get a new direction. And you wonder at times when you get that new direction, where it's going to lead. But if the Lord Jesus Christ is going to lead us, He'll lead us in the right way. His way is always right. Makes no mistakes. Where thou goest, I will go. Here was attachment and love. Here was true loyalty. I'll stick with you, she said. If you're going back there, I'm going with you. I'll never leave. That's love, true fidelity. Where thou lodgest, there will I lodge. A place for a new dwelling. Now God is interested in where we live. He knew when Naomi went away to the land of Moab with her husband, God knew it was wrong. He went over there, that's chapter 1. And there was failure at Matthew there, and he took his wife and his two sons, and he never come back. He only meant to go for a little while until the famine had ceased, and they would get a harvest again. He was going over to where there was better harvest, more food. Oh, there was more prosperity over there, so he took his wife and his two sons. He never come back. And his two sons never come back. And poor Naomi came back, a widow, and she says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. However, Ruth comes back with her, and she said, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Where you live, I'll live. Yes. A place for a new dwelling. Better than that. Thy people shall be my people. A people for a new relationship. Isn't it wonderful how God brings us into such a relationship? I've often looked at audiences like this, different places, and I've tried to think to myself, now I wonder, if it hadn't been for the grace of God, where would all these people have been? If it hadn't been that they were all saved, would they have had anything in common? Now ask ourselves, where might we have been tonight if it hadn't been for the grace of God? You know, it's the greatest relationship on earth is the relationship between Christians, between true believers. You know, I've seen this often. I remember traveling in a train on one occasion and went into this compartment, and there's another two people there sitting opposite me. There was no conversation between us because, I don't know, they were looking at something or reading something. And another man came in when the train stopped at a station, and I was reading my Bible at the time because I was going away down to speak at a conference down in the city and traveling down. I was looking up what I was going to be speaking on. And this man came in and sat on the same side as me, one end of the seat, and I was at the other. And all of a sudden, I just took a little peek over, and I could see he was reading a book. And I recognized the book whenever I saw it. It was the Keswick Convention book. It's So he had bought that book and was reading all the sermons that had been preached at the Keswick Convention. So I looked over, and all of a sudden he looked over at the same time as I looked over. We both gave a little nod. Said, "I like the book you're reading." He says, "Yes, it's good, but I like that one you're reading." And before long, you know, there was no room between us. We got over near each other. And we began to have a conversation. I'd never met the man in life before. He had never met me. And within 5 minutes, we both knew that we knew the Lord. And that was the important matter. And we had a nice discussion in the train about the things of the Lord. I discovered the man lived in Keswick. And here he was. Now, it's an amazing thing how you have an affinity with those who are of a common faith. Thy people shall be my people. It's a new relationship. And the relationship of believer with believer, I may say this, is a closer relationship than the natural relationships. Brothers may become torn asunder. Members of a family may get dispersed and lose touch of one another. I have relatives in this country. I don't know where they are, but I know they're in the United States. Some of them I've never seen, but I know they're here. Got contact with one a couple of years ago. They wrote back and said to me, "How in all the world did you ever come to locate in Raleigh?" He says, "I've been in Raleigh once every year for so many years." He says, "I always come to the state fair." He had certain reasons for coming there. And he says, "I always stay in the Sir Walter Hotel." He had been here after I was living here, didn't even know, he didn't know I was here, didn't know he was here. And we decided the next time he came, we were going to meet. Unfortunately, he died before that time. Never met him. He was my cousin. I have others, relatives. But, you see, they don't mean as much to me as people who know the Lord. You meet with other people that are joined to the same Savior, you've got an affinity with them. You understand them, at least, mostly. Thy people shall be my people. I like this next one. Thy God, my God. Here was a persuasion for a new worship. Down in Moab, she worshipped the idols of Moab. They're idolaters. But now she says, "That's behind me. Your God will be my God. I'll worship the living God, He who is the God of Israel." You know, we're all creatures given to worship. Even unsaved people are worshippers. They worship something. There are those today who are not ashamed to tell you they worship the devil. It may seem ridiculous to you, but right here in North Carolina, we have groups who are worshippers of the devil. Some worship the dog. New man that spent more money on beef for his dog than what he did for his children. He took his dog to the racing every week, expecting to make fortunes off his dog. Gambling on. Some folk do anything with a dog. They've got better beds for their dog than what they've got for their children. You know it's true. In fact, some of them let their dog sleep in the bed with them. I wouldn't even let mine sleep under the bed, never mind. You get too near the dog, you're going to get more than the dog. Better with them in the kennel at the door, a watchdog. That's the job. Worshipper. We're all creatures given to worship. Some folk worship the stars up there, and some folk worship the stars in Hollywood. Some folk worship the stars in the sports field. Well, they become worshippers. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, says the word of God. She says, thy God will be my God. Persuasion for worship. But she is a prospect for the future. Where you die, I will die also, and there will I be buried. Now you see, the burial was in view of a better resurrection. I'll stay by you to the end. Wherever you die, I'll stay there and I'll die there. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. And I'll wait for that coming resurrection. Oh, the loyalty of a woman. I don't think we can excel that. Ruth, she stands out of all of us. You thought of it. The great decision she made. Now when you think then of the first one, the Shulamite, her fidelity, her loyalty to Solomon. Ruth, her faith and fidelity, her loyalty to her mother-in-law, led her right into the promised land, and she became the wife of the kinsman. And if you watch how she comes into the line, and you follow it right through, and you come to the gospel according to Matthew, hear her name in the great genealogy leading on to Christ. Oh, the loyalty. That woman and the choice she made. Let us look just for a moment at Esther. The book of Esther. It's not long ago since Lacey went through this in the Bible class regarding Esther. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4. Now it's a strange thing what happened here. Look at verse 10. And Esther spake unto Hatach, gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther word, that Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth, whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way, did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now to read through the book of Esther, it's like other books in the Bible, it has its own particular grip. You see, when we looked at that woman, the Shulamite, hers was loyalty to her lover. When you looked at Ruth, here was loyalty to her mother-in-law and to the nation. Ah, but when you come to Esther, here is loyalty to the whole of that nation and the people of God. Each of them perhaps under difficult circumstances, but think of Esther. Oh, how difficult. Her uncle says to her, now I want you to go in before the king, and I want you to speak to the king about certain matters. But according to the law, she said, I can't do it. If I go in there without being invited by the king, I'll be put to death. Mordecai, her uncle, says this. How do you know? It could be. Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Is it possible, he says, that God has put you right there at this time? And you're the vessel he's going to use. If you don't, you'll perish anyway. For if this edict is carried out, then all of us here who are Jews have to be exterminated. I wonder how many people have expected to do that. Pharaoh was the first one, wasn't he? He tried it. And instead of them being exterminated, he was. Hitler tried to do it in our day and generation. And he's gone and they're still there. And they're back in the land. There were those there who said, we'll chase them up, we'll drown them in the Mediterranean. Well, they're still there. They'll be there as long as God wants them to be there. On this occasion, he was a nasty man who didn't like them. And he said, I'll get rid of all those Jews. He even had the gallows put up. He was going to hang old Mordecai. And he tells Esther, he says, perhaps God has put you right there at this time. And she shows her loyalty. Her loyalty to God. Her loyalty to the nation. But she says, you pray about it. You fast and pray. And I'll go in. I'll do what you want me to do. And she says, if I perish, I perish. You see, if I don't do it, I'm going to perish. If I go in, I may perish, but if so, I've done my duty. I'll be loyal. I'll show my fidelity. Love. Love for our nation. Love for the people of God. Beloved, as you look at these three ladies, you've honored mothers today. At least those of you whose mothers are still alive, and some of us have honorable thoughts of our mothers who have gone on. We thank God for them. But how does the history of these women affect us? You say, what has it got to do with me? Well, am I going to be loyal to the person who has loved me? He loved the church and gave himself for it. The Apostle Paul says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He had to come and overcome a lot of difficulties in order to reach Calvary. Think of what he suffered in order to express his love. How have we responded to his love? Are we like Shulamite? Can we say he has come, we've heard his voice, we've listened to his invitation, he's brought us into his banqueting house, his banner over us is love. Like Ruth, are we loyal to the people of God? Are we? I was in company one day with a few men. One was very, very critical. He was criticizing this one, he was criticizing the next one. And, a lot of criticism. They turned to one fellow who was an Irishman. And said, John, what do you think? And he looked, he said, you know, he said, I read in my Bible that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he says, I'm not going to help him at his work. I don't work for him. True. I hope we remember that. Are we loyal to the people of God? The other Christians. No matter where you find them, would you stand by the other believers. But when we come to the book of Esther, are we loyal to the purposes of God? Have we learned that God has purposes? God has purposes for the Jew. He has purposes for his church. He has purposes for the world. Do we stand true to God's purposes, the real in that book? Are we prepared to hold tenaciously to what that book propounds? Or are we trying to introduce our own thoughts and ideas in place of the teaching of that book? If there's love, there'll be loyalty. Let's finish on this note. The one who loved us, the one of whom it said that he loved me and gave himself for me, this is what the word says about him. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end, or to the uttermost. He knew exactly what they would do. He knew them, every one of them. Yet he loved them. And he loved them to the uttermost. That's the example of love. For our loyalty, for our love, can we take our stand with these three women? Can we? Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for another day spent with thy people. We think of the different services today, not only here, but in other places. Many, many people will have listened to thy word today being read and ministry given thereon. Oh God, we pray that it may not simply be a Sunday service. May it be it's a word that's going to abide with each one day after day. Something that will strengthen them, build them up, encourage them. God grant that if they've been honoring their mothers today, that some of them will trust their mother's Savior. We think of the prayers that mothers have put up on behalf of their children. Some of them have been disappointed thus far. Oh God, wilt thou break in, answer the prayers of those believing parents. Take us home now in safety. Be with each of us throughout the week that we're about to enter. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.